Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, which you heard read earlier. When I was a young boy and making out my Christmas list, my wish list, there was one word I always included on that list: surprises. I want this, I want this, and I want lots of surprises. Surprises are those unexpected gifts that you have no idea are coming. And just as the name suggests, when you open it up, you're surprised because it's something that you never thought about asking for. And I'm not talking about the underwear and the socks and the everyday sundry things. It's the big gifts that you never thought about asking for. That was a surprise. Life is full of surprises. And sometimes those surprises are not so good. The surprise of a loved one passing away, or news of a lost job. Other times, surprises leave you conflicted with your emotions, like an unplanned pregnancy. Even though God's gift of life is a wonderful thing, sometimes circumstances surrounding the pregnancy can make for a stressful situation. And in our gospel text this morning, Joseph is stressed and he is conflicted because of his betrothed wife. According to Jewish custom, betrothal is a binding contract between a man and a woman that lasts about 1 year. Just like you're married, except you don't live together and you especially don't have sexual relations. Well, Joseph was a righteous man. He was a loving man. He and others like him, both then and today, recognize that God has reserved the wedding bed for marriage. And in Joseph's mind, Mary was a wonderful, honorable girl. She was a faithful Jewish girl who also would wait for marriage. But sometimes things are not as they appear. And it appeared to Joseph that Mary had not been quite so righteous. Imagine his surprise when Mary was found to be with child. Because Joseph is no dummy, he knows virgins do not get pregnant. Now, certainly, Mary tried to explain everything to him. The visit from the angel that said that, oh, sure, she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Bear a child, you will call his name Jesus. Mary was so excited to be a servant of the Lord. But who would really believe such a far-fetched story? Not Joseph. Joseph is unbelieving. It's not that he did not believe Isaiah's prophecy about a virgin bearing a child. It's just that he didn't think that that prophecy was being fulfilled in his betrothed. This surprise pregnancy to Joseph was all the evidence he needed to conclude that Mary had been unfaithful. And he wrestled, and he stressed, and he came up with three different options. First, he figured he could keep Mary as his wife, and he would spend the rest of his days being heckled and mocked by the town folk because he is the stepfather of an illegitimate child. Secondly, according to Jewish law, he could have Mary stoned for sexual immorality. But as he wrestles around, he decides to go for the third option. Being a compassionate and just man, not wanting to make a situation worse for Mary, he decides to divorce her quietly. And for all the right reasons, Joseph is about to make the wrong decision. So God intervenes. The only way for human the only way for sinful humans to know the ways of God's salvation is for God to reveal his way of salvation in Jesus to us. Joseph, trying to sleep, wrestling with his decision, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the beginning of the incarnation, God becoming flesh in the womb of Mary, entering mankind, entering into his creation and the flesh of man to save all mankind from their sins. Now, Joseph has new information. So what does he believe? Does he believe his eyes or does he believe his ears? Should he trust what his eyes see? His eyes see something that's very rational. He sees that this woman has cheated on him, and he has every right to divorce her. But what he hears from an angel, the angel addresses him as Joseph, son of David, speaking of King David, the one whom was foretold that through his offspring, God would send a promised Messiah. Joseph hears God's word that in taking Mary as his wife, he will become the child's legal father, a adoptive stepfather of the unborn child. Except Joseph doesn't get the rights to name the child. God wants the child named. God would name the child with the name which is descriptive of his divine character for which he became incarnate. His name will be Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Many times things do not appear as they are not as they appear to the eye. The only way for us sinful humans to know the ways of God's salvation is for him to reveal his word and will to us, to reveal salvation in Jesus to us. So the people of God walk by faith, not by sight. And that God-given faith comes from hearing the words of Christ. Now, Joseph could have been vindictive toward his spouse, as many spouses are today. He could have told his family and friends what he perceived, that his betrothed went out and had an affair and was pregnant from someone else. She cheated, you know, that woman, putting her to public shame. Yet even though he may not have fully understood what was taking place, he was obedient by faith, obedient to the angel of the Lord, and took Mary as his wife. Joseph became a husband. And as husband, he was committed guardian, protector, and provider for both Mary and the Christ child. Joseph is a wonderful example that all husbands and fathers should follow. St. Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And how exactly has Christ loved the church? Unconditionally. He laid down his life for her. He unconditionally forgives sins. He loves and he forgives. No questions asked. Christ shows his unconditional love for you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Your Heavenly Father has given you a Christmas surprise. It's the most wonderful and priceless gift that you would have never asked for yourself. You would have never dreamed of it. Even though you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love he has for you, revealed his salvation through his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. Then in baptism, or the hearing of the gospel, he made you alive in Christ and saved you by his grace. He adopted you and grafted you into the body of his holy church. And he has forgiven your sins for the sake of Jesus, who is born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, paying the wages of all of your sins, reconciling you with the Father. Joseph thought Mary had been unfaithful, and in his unbelief, he's gone to quietly divorce her. But what about in your life, when you have committed sins, when you have been unfaithful and done shameless deeds? Jesus could have abandoned you. Abandonment is what you and I deserve. Eternal punishment is what you and I deserve. Abandonment is what you and I deserve. You and I are supposed to be faithful to God alone. Yet you and I whore after every false idol that comes along, anything that twinkles in our eyes. You and I deserve God's wrath and his eternal judgment. God could have left us drowning in our sins, and he would have been justified in doing so. But instead, he had compassion. Instead of giving you what you deserve, surprise, he gave you a Savior. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem sinners such as you and me, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, left the glory of heaven to be with you. Born in a barn, endured every possible human humiliation that there was in this broken, sinful world. He subjected himself to a life among sinful men, becoming sin, even though he was without sin. And he fulfilled every bit of prophecy, keeping God's law perfectly. He endured all the public shame and humiliation and punishment that you deserved, dying the most grisly and gruesome death that was rightfully yours, so that you would be saved from death and disgrace, so that he could forgive you of all your sins of committing shameful acts, hurting and abandoning others, and whoring after false idols. And today, while Jesus has ascended into heaven, he still comes to you right here in the divine service by means of his word and sacrament, forgiving you all of your sins, creating and sustaining faith within you. He reveals himself to you as your Lord and Savior. And by the power of the Holy Spirit given you in baptism, his unconditional love and forgiveness enables you to love and forgive others. Those who have hurt you, those who have deserted you. And I'm not just talking about husbands and wives. I'm talking about forgiving the trespasses of all those who trespass against you, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Family, friends, neighbors, all who sin against you. Why in the world would you forgive them? Because God in Christ has forgiven you. Joseph's story is your story. It begins with unbelief and ends with faith. Your Heavenly Father has given you a Christmas surprise, and it is the most wonderful and priceless gift that you've never asked for. His name is Jesus, for he saves people from their sins. He has called you his own in baptism and grafted you into his heavenly kingdom. You are in his kingdom here in time, and one day you will be with him there in eternity forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.